Dirty D, Shocker, an IcemanManiacs.com podcast exclusive.
Iceman Insights is going into overtime.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is!
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
Daddy's too hot. That's what she said. First circus. Vitaleri Filippula.
Use your big boy words.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
And we're back. Overtime.
So, should we promote the radio station?
No. No,
we're on IcemanManiacs.com now.
Michael Shockley, Derek Benigni, broadcasting taped as you listen to this on the podcast, on the website.
First time ever?
No. These people, these are our true fans. We don't have to lie to them.
So, should we start with the segment we preempted?
I guess so.
All right.
I'd already moved on.
We were.
I'm serious. I'm ready to go to bed.
We
talk
were,
fast.
We were going to discuss the ECHL fantasy team. With no All-Star game this season, the league is now asking fans to vote for the league's 2013-14 fantasy team, which is essentially an All-Star team of sorts.
No, well, I actually kind of like the idea.
It's different. It's fun to do something like this in the absence of an All-Star game. Fans can vote for one player from each team, and each team's winning player will wear a special jersey during the game.
That's incorrect. You can select one player from already pre-selected players.
You can write in as well.
They're not going to win.
Well, but you can select any player, in theory.
I don't think so.
It's on there. It's on the ballot.
They're lying to you. Because when I had to fill out the three names, I had to give them three names, and I wasn't allowed any extra space for write-ins. So if they didn't allow me to add any write-ins, and these are the three that are going to be in the voting, your vote-ins aren't going to count.
Well, then the league's lying, because the ballot page has write-in spot for every
team. That was
team.
Michael Shockley referring to the league as a bunch of liars.
I'm telling you, the league is correct, and you're wrong. Wouldn't be the first time you're wrong.
Well, I will bet you $1 that it will be one of three players.
Oh, I would imagine it will be one of the three. Even if there was a write-in campaign from Iceman fans, there would be enough other people that would probably vote that it's going to be one of the pre-selected three.
Pre-selected by me.
Yes. So how did you – we'll get to that in a second. The winner
will
wear –
How did I pick them? I went to coach. I said, what do you
which
want?
Do you, want? You didn't want that to be on you.
I've been in enough trouble.
So they will wear a special jersey during a game in January, which is supposed to be Saturday, January 18th against South Carolina, which is Pack the House night and Star Wars night for the Icemen. But there may be a problem with that, huh?
Yeah, because it wasn't like by special jersey. They weren't wearing like a pink jersey to augment them from the other two teams. Mm-hmm. It was just to have a little bit different logos on it that made them look like it, but still
blend in with the team.
Yes. So it wasn't supposed to distract from the game, but just enough that they looked
it's
special.
Unique. Right.
But, yeah, I don't know if we realized we had a specialty jersey night on that
night. On the
night
they pegged for us.
So we will see.
Yeah. So
there could be some really cool jerseys to get auctioned off.
So, yeah, we'll see if the date changes or if the jersey changes
yep.
One way or the other. And then starting on Wednesday, January 22nd, which would have been the date of the All-Star game if we were having one, the jerseys will be auctioned off on ECHL.com. Full details and the voting ballot, which Derek says does not have write-in spots, even though they're
correct.
There, is on ECHL.com.
Don't write in. Just pick one of the three because that's all that's going to win.
Each team does have three default choices, and are the three for the Iceman are Nathan Moon, Joe Lavin, and Mike Seidel, the weatherman. I'm not giving up. So I would imagine whether they can win or not, there will be a fair number of write-in votes. The likes of Clemente, Lowry, Shepke, Krug, all would be good choices too. So my question for you, and I'll give my answer too, if not just the three choices, if you had your choice of anyone on the team, who would you choose yourself?
At this moment?
At this very moment.
Probably Matt Lowry.
I would think either Lowry or Clemente. And I think I would go Clemente, if nothing else, but because the first few games of the season when we weren't scoring a lot of goals, we've been scoring more the last few, but when we weren't scoring a lot of goals, he was the primary reason we were winning games. And I think Lowry, not a bad choice at all either, but I think I would probably go with Clemente, but you can't go wrong with either one of them.
Excuse me. Well, and that goes back to the disagreement we had 2 weeks ago where I said we weren't scoring goals because we had leads, and
right.
So we were playing a very protective style.
And then when we fall behind, we start
scoring goals.
Right.
So
that's true. So, yeah. So that's that. So I guess the talking point here is we'll wait and see what happens with the write-ins.
Yep.
Be interesting to see if any team's write-in, you know, if any team has a write-in win.
Yep.
Or if it's all going to be the pre-selected guys. We'll find out.
Because next year, if I still have my job,
which is a big if,
yeah, when I have to fill out that paperwork, if I have to fill out the paperwork again, I'm not sending it in. It makes no sense.
Just tell them to pick three on their own, and then,
yeah,
I don't understand why it's only three per team. I mean, they could easily put more on the ballot.
They may have the jerseys already made.
Maybe that's possible too. In which case, we're gonna have trouble having a white jersey for Star Wars night.
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah,
I don't want to think about that disaster.
On the road again.
On the road again?
I'm drilling the mouth of the Iceman about the South Carolina road trip. Now, you talked about this a fair amount on Iceman Live, but for those who didn't hear...
Which, obviously, you stole once again.
You mentioned, and I would have loved to have seen a good picture of this, the whole team, even the bus driver, wore black fedoras
yep.
for you.
It looked awesome.
That's really cool. You slept on the floor of the bus between Ross and Patafi.
Yep.
And you said you slept great due to exhaustion and because you were snuggling with Patafi.
No, I slept great either due to exhaustion or because I was snuggling in between Patafi and Ross.
Not both.
Yeah, I'm not sure which one it was.
Gotcha. So you were between them, so who was spooning who?
Well, I was actually on the floor lower, so I couldn't spoon.
Oh,
but I did get stepped on once, and I got someone's derriere in my face too, because we're all 45 and up year old guys, and everyone's got to pee in the middle of the night like four times. So, and I was
especially
on the
moving bus.
Yeah, I was on the way to the bathroom, so. It doesn't make for good sleep.
So you didn't spoon, but did you fork?
Oh, wow.
You're not touching that, huh?
Nope.
All right, moving on. You also told a story about settling a domestic dispute at IHOP. I thought that was hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. That's unbelievable.
That's awesome.
Just that chick comes out, and we're just... I mean, we just gotten off the bus, and we're kind of in a fog and everything else, and it's hot out. It's 70 degrees, and it's beautiful, and... You're shedding your Toronto Maple Leafs pullover and everything else, and all of a sudden you hear, "Why she got your number in your phone? Why she got your number in your phone?" You're like, "Oh, dude, dude, what did you do?" And then she just started whooping on him. It's like, God, and it's right here, right in front of me, and I've been trained because I was Holiday World security, so I know how to handle the situation. Like, dang it. And he was a big dude, too, big arms. He was really cool.
Was she a big woman?
She was very aggressive.
Was it Big Mama?
But that was my fear, is that she would get him so mad that he would just
fight back,
knock her teeth out. And he was really cool, which made it awesome. But, yeah, it was nasty.
Hmm. So did they ended up going their separate ways? No cops were
yep.
called or anything?
I called the cops as soon as they separated because... It's domestic violence.
Right.
You got to call the cops. So I called the cops. They never showed up. And
it's the IHOP couple again.
I saw one cop loop, but there was a Dunkin' Donuts. So
So they ended up over there, huh?
I can't confirm nor deny. All I can say is I saw a police officer, and I saw him driving, and then I didn't see him anymore.
Like a moth on a bug lamp.
And there is a Dunkin' Donuts there, because that's where Patafi and I ate.
So fill in the blanks. Yep. Draw your own conclusions. You mentioned once you did get to the building, there was no press box in the arena there in South Kakalaki. So you were sitting in the stands on a makeshift press row. But that was fun.
It actually was.
Was it?
It did work.
I was
nervous. I wasn't like scared, but I thought, because I seen this team and I knew we were going to play well and I knew we were going to rock their world. And I just thought, I'm going to get beers dumped on me. And
did you?
No.
Nobody.
Welcome to South Carolina. Y'all been down to here and blah, 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 and get yourself some free pie. And I'm like, oh, these people are really cool.
Was it K-Row peanut pie?
I don't know. I didn't ask. I didn't know about K-Row peanut pie until I got back. So it's got the recipe on there. I'm going to make that up for Thanksgiving.
Any other observations?
I'm serving it with a bow tie on, too.
You better not post pictures of this. Yikes. Any other observations about their barn? Is it nice?
Yeah,
is it old?
Beautiful. No, it's a newer one. Probably early 2000s, I'm guessing, late 90s. Really big. No two tiers. Natural
just one
oval.
Seating bowl.
One seating bowl that just goes way up. Jumbotron, not as nice as ours. When they
not as big as Kalamazoo's.
No, but when they go from excuse me, the scoring
verklempt
to like one of the promotions, mm-hmm. you can tell that it's like a different video feed because it gets all grainy and everything else, and then it goes back.
It's like
so
they changed
it's
the
not
channel.
High def, yeah.
Old VHF.
Yeah. So, but no, it was a nice place. It was a lot of fun. The downstairs where the guys are at and everything else. Well, I guess the one thing that is also interesting is the locker rooms aren't big enough. So the D and the goalies go into one locker room. And then the forwards go into another locker room,
oh.
and they're adjoined, but
they're separate rooms.
Yes.
Huh.
So.
Yeah, I think that's something. A lot of older buildings, the locker rooms are just way too small for modern needs. What about the bench? Is it standard current day configuration of benches and penalty boxes,
yes.
or is it funky like Fort Wayne and Kalamazoo?
Jiminy, we're gonna have to get a water here in a second. But their glass, the penalty box on the ice surface, no glass. So the player steps over the boards just like he's stepping over off of the bench, which was cool and neat and nostalgic and everything else until Peter Sakaris got pressed on Saturday night and he flipped the puck off the glass, which was non-existent, and it went into the timekeeper booth and slit the dude's head above his eye. So we had about a 10-minute stoppage of play. He had to get stitched up in the South Carolina
Yikes.
Room. So
wow.
Yeah, so that is the one unique weirdo thing there.
See, I grew up with a rink. I played youth hockey at the Coliseum in Indy, with another old barn. Well, South Carolina is not an old barn, but that it was like that in Indy at the Coliseum until probably when I was in high school, and then they redid the boards and they added the glass on the front of the penalty boxes. But I always liked it when it wasn't there from a player's perspective, because if you're in the penalty box, and I wasn't very often, I was actually a clean player, believe it or not, but on the rare occasion I was in the penalty box, it was nice because you felt less separated from the game. You could still lean out over and watch the play and feel the ice, and it was nice, but it kind of threw me for a loop, and it makes a difference. I mean, you feel different when you're in the box with glass in front of you versus when you're not. It's. I think I prefer it without, but I understand for safety reasons why the new standard is to have glass on the front of the box, because between the players in the box and the penalty box attendants and scorekeepers, they're just and that occasional awkward hit right on the corner, that's probably the big thing there.
Yeah, we saw one of those too on Friday.
Yeah, and those are scary.
Yep.
That's shoulders and concussions, and that's not good stuff. So where the heck were we?
Fanzam.
Oh, yeah, the Fanzam.
Just showed you a picture.
How cool.
Unbelievable. Put 15 people in there riding around on the top, and they're all chucking shirts into the crowd, and then that Gatling gun on the back. Totally cool.
So is it like a gimmick Zamboni, or is it actually resurfacing the ice as they're doing it?
You know, I didn't even notice.
Because it was hard to tell from the pictures
yeah.
if it was a legitimate functional Zam or if it was just an old one that they retrofitted.
All I know
seats.
Is Brian Ball needs to get us one.
It's really cool. Did you notice? I noticed at Education Day we now have a passenger seat on both of our Zams.
Yes.
That's new.
Yes, it is. That is a Brian Ball creation. And
that's good.
I think one of our sponsors is giving away free rides on it.
Cool.
So
that's good. I've always wondered why we don't. Every other Zamboni in America, it seems like, has one now at pro games. I'm glad to see. I'm sure there's insurance issues.
And, yep.
Yeah. All sorts of liability problems associated with that, but that's cool. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you need a 5-point harness if you're on Houseman's Zamboni. You're not going to touch that?
The next segment, para inglés, a primo
wait.
Uno.
Okay, well, we can talk about this first. It's a popular topic of conversation, so I'm just going to ask you and give you the chance to say I don't know. Do you know why there are so many Spanish commercials on WEOA?
All I got to say is if you don't want to hear them anymore, buy commercial spots on WEOA. And they are ridiculously cheap. The deal that they have set up, and we're going to start hearing some new ones because people are starting to snap them up like crazy. It's $165 for a month. You get all the games and all the Iceman live shows for $165. No contract for the whole season, just month by month.
Wow.
So, and then we're also working people in at the home shows. Or the home games that they come on in the first intermission and be a guest and talk about the game and then talk about your business. So
nice.
Yep. Got it all hooked
up. So who should you contact to set that up?
Call WEOA if you have their information, or you can just call me and I will get you over to them.
That's cool. People keep asking.
And you can call me at 812-202-8955. There you go.
Or 867-5309.
No, that's Soupies.
Oh, gotcha.
El bendito Haralu.
The Nigel Bandit. So, yeah, people have been asking that, why there's so many Spanish ads, and it's like, well, they bought
yeah,
them.
Well, and the WEOA is big in the community. One of the things that really impressed me when I first met them, Ed and Darren Lander over there, was they go to the schools, and they, you know, it's the inner city schools, and they're trying to build up the education there, and they give away Iceman tickets and stuff for kids that increase their I-step scores and everything else. So
cool.
They use what they have, the tools that they have, and really try to reinvest it right back into the community. And surprise, surprise, we have a very large Spanish-speaking community here.
Yeah, it's bigger than you think.
And
I said it's bigger than you think.
Yeah. I heard that twice.
You're moving on, aren't you?
Yeah, all I see is taters now. And then one of the, you know, they asked for some swag, and I said, dude, I'll get you guys some jerseys. So I went and walked right over to Iceman headquarters and stole a bunch of kids' jerseys and took them right back over to WEOA. Because if you're reaching out to the community like that, we can give you a couple of jerseys.
Yeah, that's really cool. So you skipped my last bullet. So was there anything else worth noting about the South Carolina trip? Have they pulled any pranks on you yet?
No.
Not yet? They're still scouting out the opposition?
I think they're worried about Pyle and his retribution if it doesn't go over well. So I think it's about as prankish as, and we, you know, with the Richie Incognito thing and everything else that's going on, Pyle kind of talked about it while we were on the bus with the guys, and he said he'd been on teams where he'd seen a little bit of that, but he doesn't understand how degrading somebody makes a team come together. That doesn't make any sense at all.
Oh,
it is completely illogical. And so you want to have fun, do fun things that brings everyone together. That's his focus. That's why there's no rookies. Everyone's a first-year pro.
Right.
He doesn't want the jerky broadcaster to get jokes played on him. He just doesn't want it to happen. And that's the way it is. So I think as prankish as it's going to get is showing up and seeing everyone in matching fedoras.
Cool.
is what he wants done.
That's good. Well, yeah, you don't want people to feel singled out.
Yep.
In a negative way. You know, there's and while someone may say, well, that's just in good fun, you know, you never know what one's person just in good fun might be crossing the line to someone else.
Well,
and the whole Richie Incognito thing is so far over the line and venturing into illegal. But in general, just pranks and hazing, you know, what may be playful to one man, you know, one man's playful is another man's hurtful.
And this team is so awesome and they're so tight. Some of the guys are complaining because they went to IHOP when we first got into town, mm-hmm. and it took over an hour and a half for them to eat because they all sat together. And
so they're all visiting.
Well, and so one waitress waits on 21 people instead of them breaking up into like a group of four over here and a group of five over there so that all the waiters and waitresses could serve on them. They all had to sit together. Again, everywhere they go, they all got to sit together. So, I mean, it's
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a super tight team. They're the real deal. So
that's really cool.
Yep. And then the other thing I wanted to share, too, though, was they were telling, some of the guys were telling stories of, most of them said that they hadn't received any hazing and they all felt kind of the same way. Why would you degrade someone so that you could feel closer to somebody?
Yeah.
But a couple of good stories I heard was one game that a team played was, I'm not going to mention any names, but you took your cell phone and you passed it to the person on your right. And then it was your turn. You were offered just the barrel level shot of whiskey, barrel level just nasty shot of vodka, or the person to your right could scroll through your contact list and send one text to anyone.
Ooh.
And this game just went around and around the circle. He said, yeah, it ended a few relationships.
I could see that, yeah.
But I thought that was a fantastic game. And then the other game was they all had to put their cell phones on the table when they got to the bar. If you got a text from girlfriend, fiance, you had to do five shots. If you got a call or a text from your parents, you had to do 10 shots.
So what about the guys that are single? They would only have to
worry
about their parents.
No,
but
girlfriend.
I mean, like single if they didn't even have a girlfriend.
Yeah. Yep.
Of course, they're hockey players.
I think any phone call or text was a shot. Girlfriend or fiance was five. Parents was 10.
Nice. Very interesting. So on the bus, South Carolina is a long trip. What was going on as far as card games, things like that? How did they pass the time?
Sleep. Because we left
so it was,
9
it was
o'clock.
Overnight.
Both trips were overnight. So, yeah, we pretty much just sat around and talked, and then everyone just kind of went to bed.
So you left at 9 o'clock. The first game was Friday night. You left at 9 o'clock Wednesday night, right?
Yeah, after Education Day
so
game.
So what time did the bus get there?
About 10 in the morning.
Oh, yeah, so you didn't have – there wasn't a whole lot of time to kill.
No. Nope.
So who ended up getting the shaft and having to sleep on the floor with you and Ross and Patafi?
I don't know. There's a couple of players in the back, though, that were sleeping on the floor as well. So
let's hope they don't end up spooning with you at some point this season.
I mean, there's just – I think Bardis was one of them. I think he said he got two or three people stepping right on the middle of his chest going to the bathroom.
Jeez.
So. I only had to dodge Coach, Patav, and Roscoe, but they've got three bunks high on either side, and then he's sleeping on the floor in between them. So he's got six people crawling out to pee during the night.
Man,
yep,
that's rough.
Not to mention the next bunk back as well,
yeah.
Stepping through. So,
jeez.
Yeah, it's not...
it's glamorous.
Yeah.
next segment?
Yeah.
As promised, I wanted to throw in a little bonus coverage for the Skating Down Memory Lane segment. As I mentioned during the on-air portion of the show, the Iceman beat Quad City 5-1 back in February of 2011 at Swander. In that game, Mario LaRocque had a goal and 21 penalty minutes, which included a fight. Iceman fans tended to have a love-hate relationship with LaRocque. It was either love or hate. And it seemed like he was very popular, and then he grinded on people's nerves, and then after that infamous game when we started chanting Mario sucks at him, he turned things around and upped his game, and the fans loved him again. I thought, as a fan, he was often infuriating me because he was one of those guys that had a ton of talent and rarely seemed to fully realize that talent. But as the music guy, which I was at the time, I always loved him because between Mario and LaRocque, I had lots of options as far as Super Mario and the rock stuff that I could play. And when that game happened, Mario was back in the fans' good graces. That was after he had been booed and told that he sucked, and then he started playing better, and everyone loved him again. So when he was the number one star for that game, it gave me a chance to break out some pretty cool audio. So I'll
insert
play.
Insert the audio clip.
Yes, I will insert the audio clip here. This is the three stars, the end of the three stars announcement from that game. It's one of my favorite audio clips from that season.
And your number one star of the game.
Do you smell what the Rock is cooking?
Loose pucks.
This is when we discuss random topics from throughout the world of hockey. We'll start off. I got to go on a little rant here about the three stars. You're going to have your rants, but
I forgot about my rant.
Yeah, I got him on the list here. So, he's really prepared. I got three stars rant. The Iceman won on Friday night in South Carolina, but only got one of the three stars. Moon was the number one star.
Yeah, they kind of had to give it to him.
Yeah, and then on Saturday, we go to a shootout, so it's essentially a tie game decided in a shootout, and the Stingrays got all three stars. This despite the fact that Langlois had a goal and two assists, and he also had the primary assist on the game-tying goal, but Langlois could not crack the three stars. So we went 1-0-1 on the weekend, but we only got one of the six stars of the game, and I think it's just annoying. South Carolina apparently went to the Fort Wayne School of Star Giving because
they went 1-0-1.
The Comets do that all the time. Well, that's true, but I hate it when when the official scores go way heavy on the home team. And I understand why you generally
want to.
I'm
going to wreck it for you. I'm going to wreck hockey for you. No, it isn't general and it's not official scores. It's about sales.
Well, it's about Stars to be your team.
It's more than you want to. You make it that way. And the Icemen are doing it too this year. Sales has taken over the three stars for the Evansville Icemen.
Really?
Year. Yes. So it is all about the fan experience, and the fans don't want to cheer the official scorer calling a perfect three-star lineup. They want to cheer their hometown team. So that's very little of professional hockey is actually about hockey. I have learned this in 2 months, not to my happiness.
But that's just how it is.
It's just the way it is.
So who makes the call for us? Can you divulge that?
Sales.
Sales in general. We'll leave it at that. Huh. Well, then we'll start seeing that for us too.
So don't
the
official scores were totally cool guys. They took care of me the whole entire time. My same experience in Kalamazoo. Everyone's been super good to me and everything else, giving me everything I needed. And it's not about official scoring. We were probably the last of a dying breed when, you know, with me and Johnny Kells and Chad Burley, all official scorers over the past few years.
Chad Beefcake Burley.
Oh, really?
According to Tommy Mason.
Oh.
That's how he's been introducing him.
Nice. But no. It's all about the fan experience. Mm.
Okay. Well, sorry. I guess we'll just be old fuddy duddies together and happy about it.
Go to an EYHA game and make up your own three stars.
Yeah, I guess. It's always.
Oh, I know. Halbert tweeted me too, and I'm like, dude, it's sales. It's all about sales. Because you know what? You ain't selling any jerseys of Kaylee Schrock at the Ford Center
if he has
two goals and an assist one game and a fight.
Unless someone needs kindling.
Yeah.
All right, well, then I'll move on to the next bullet of loose pucks. In the NHL, Ilya Bryzgalov has signed a one-year, $2 million deal with the Edmonton Oilers. He's starting in the AHL with Oklahoma City on a conditioning stint.
Stupidest thing I've ever heard of that isn't based with the Philadelphia Flyers.
Of course, he's the infamous failure in Philly, that nine-year, $51 million deal, which was made worse by the fact that they had to deal Jeff Carter and Mike Richards just to make room for him under the cap. Now he was bought out by the Flyers in June.
I also think they wanted to move Carter and Richards because they were, quote, not good in the locker room, unquote,
yeah.
And they brought in screwball man who was horrible in Anaheim and horrible in Phoenix's locker room.
Yeah, they... Well, I guess that's indicative of the general way the Flyers have gone about building things the last couple of years. Brizgalov spent camp in the ECHL with the Las Vegas Wranglers this season, but he never did intend to sign. He was just basically there for a workout, according to him.
I doubt that.
Well, he said
there's a reason you go to Vegas. It's not for a workout.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah. The point is he was not there to try to be on their opening day roster.
No, he wasn't there for a workout either.
Yeah, he was there because it's Vegas.
He was there because
it's
Vegas,
and he could
Vegas,
play a little hockey in between.
Yeah.
Said
work
he was
on someone else's five hole.
Yeah. Whoa. All righty. Rated R overtime. He said at the when he left Vegas, he
I
said
didn't
he,
say taters are first circus.
True. He said he was waiting for a good NHL offer or the right NHL offer. Mm-hmm. So
that would be that was real. That was on paper.
That would be one that was
not one
actually,
that he made up in his head.
Yeah, one that actually existed.
Out in the woods somewhere. I'm just lost in the woods.
No, isn't his thing outer space? He's always out in outer space.
He was lost in the woods, too.
Oh, he's lost on the ice.
Yep.
He's lost in the crease.
Yep.
So my question for you, how many games will he win for the Oilers this season?
I'm trying to decide between 3 and 4. I'm going to take the under. I'm going to say 3.
3. Okay.
How many media flops is he going to have? 14.
Yeah. Didn't he once say that Edmonton was in the North Pole or something? Yeah.
Yep.
Wonder how he'll smooth that over. What a mess.
It's just stupid.
The Oilers, that's a dumpster fire in Edmonton right now.
Well, and the one thing I think is interesting is they've gone through, they've gotten all these top draft picks, top five draft picks the past 4 years, and they've fired 3 coaches in that time. And a lot like what Jeff Pyle came into and did with the Icemen, the problem is in the locker room. The problem is within the locker room, and the problem is the organization. It's not the coaching. And someone needs to step up there. You know, they're recycling Craig McTavish. And I have nothing against the guy, but that whole organization is a disaster. And they're just going to have to stop and turn it upside down. Shake out all the nuts and turn it into good people with integrity to start turning that thing around. I mean, they take Nail Yakupov, and this year they want to trade him.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, you're giving up on a kid that you drafted first overall before he's even played 100 games?
Yeah.
Because he hasn't developed?
Terrible?
Yeah. I mean, it makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
And then you bring in a nut job, an absolute nut job. So you've got a shoddy organization with a bad locker room with a bunch of selfish, spoiled kids, and you're bringing in a nut job. This makes no sense at all.
So do you think they finished last in the West?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't think Calgary falls down below them?
Calgary's
they're doing
the
all
exact
right.
Opposite. They're struggling in the talent department, but they've got a good room with good leadership.
Yeah, they just don't have the talent.
Nope.
But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Oilers end up last in the West. I mean, who else is gonna? I don't know.
Nope.
I don't know that there is another team in the West that is a bigger train wreck right now. So. Over in the East, the big news on Monday, unfortunate news, Steven Stamkos sustained a broken tibia when he crashed awkwardly into the goalpost in a game in Boston against the Bruins. Had surgery, out at least 4 to 6 months, which obviously hurts the Lightning. They had been off to a surprisingly good start. They were in first place. Stamkos was playing really well, and they've been getting great goaltending from Ben Bishop, which you got to think he will probably regress to the mean at some point, but... Who knows?
Ben Bishop, who was traded out of Ottawa because they had Robin Lehner there.
And Craig Anderson.
Yes.
Right. And
who you Bishop, deemed a backup.
Well, I mean, he is the backup. He's just a really good backup.
You used it in a derogatory sense. Like gringo.
El gringo grande.
El gringo grande, hallelujah.
So Bishop's one of those guys, though, that, yeah, he's always been number 3 on the depth chart, but I think he's got better than number 3 talent. Because before he was in Ottawa, he was in St. Louis, and he was behind 2 decent goalies there, too. So it's just a case of finally getting somewhere and getting that opportunity that he's long been wanting. And so far, he's been panning out really well there. But you wonder if he can sustain it, especially now with Stamkos out. That's going to hurt them. But in addition to hurting the Lightning, it doubly sucks for Stamkos because he's almost certain to miss the Olympics now, too.
Yep. Guess what? Canada's going to be just fine.
Yeah, they'll be all right without him. It's just unfortunate for him.
15 centers already on the roster.
Yeah, no kidding.
He'll be back in 4 years.
So
what's really ironic about the whole thing is I remember back in 1983 when the Wings were making a push for one of their first playoff appearances in years and years and years. And Stevie Yzerman drove hard in the net to score a goal and lost an edge and went in. And this is the reason they changed to the mooring system that they have now.
Yeah.
Because before the nets were anchored into the ice.
And they did not move.
And he blew out his knee. And, you know, this is back in the 80s. This is before an arthroscopic surgery in your back in 6 months. And it was close to career ending, and it's what eventually did end his career. Now he battled through and played for another 18 years after that. But it's just ironic that he ends up becoming the GM of a kid like Stamkos, and then
the same thing happens. Yep. Yeah, it's unfortunate. He's Tampa Bay doesn't get on TV a whole lot nationally, but that is one of the best players in the world right now.
It's fantastic. I think some of the Iceman players actually shot around with him up in Toronto this year.
Really?
And they said he shoots 1,000 pucks a day.
Whew. Practice makes perfect. Even
yep.
You think you don't need to practice? Even some of the best in the world do it all the time. That's how they're the best in the world.
Yep.
This
is the whole reason you put this thing
indeed
on here.
Indeed it is. With Stamkos out, the Lightning have, at least for now, moved Valtteri Filppula up to the first line with Marty Sanlier.
Valtteri Filppulas.
I don't think you screwed that up as much as you usually do.
Nope.
What? How's it pronounced again?
Valtteri Filppula.
That's not it. No. You got to screw it up worse.
What? That's all I got.
I think it's usually Valtteri.
Valtteri Filppula. It actually is worse the more I look at it. There's a lot of consonants together.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just forced to put vowels into.
Yeah, the more you try to spell it phonetically, the worse it gets.
I get a kick out of when you hear the non-hockey sports announcer say, and Tampa Bay was led in scoring by Marty Sanlier.
Sanlier, yeah. Well, and the fun thing is, if you're ever watching a hockey game and you don't necessarily want to hear the audio, put it on mute and turn the closed captioning on. And watch the way the closed captioners butcher hockey names and hockey terms, too. It's pretty funny. So anyway, following up to Stamkos, and yes, I did mention this in part because I wanted to hear you say Filppula's name, but my question for you, they're in first place right now, but with Stamkos out until late in the season, if he comes back at all, probably will come back before the end of the season, but it's going to be really close. Will the Lightning still be a playoff team in the East?
No.
You don't think so?
Nope. This could be the break that Columbus needs.
Columbus needs a lot of breaks.
They do, but this is one of them.
One of many.
Yep.
See, I think they'll be in the picture. I'm not sold that they'll be in, but I think the East has 5 or 6 good teams and then a whole lot of mediocre. And I think if they can hang around that whole lot of mediocre.
There was a stat that there was 9 teams in the league last week who didn't have as many points as they had games played.
And like 7 of them are in the East?
No. 8 of them were in the Metrosexual Division. Or 7 of the 8. It was Pittsburgh and all the rest of the metrosexual teams were under a point per game play.
Well, and the East is just getting destroyed head-to-head against the West, too. I saw that going into this past weekend, the West was like 75-22 head-to-head against the East.
And what's bizarre is even Detroit comes over. They lose to Winnipeg on Tuesday night. They've lost to Winnipeg back-to-back and have a 4-game losing streak on top of it.
Yeah. The East is it's weird that what's happening. That you got a lot of teams that have a lot of talent, but they're just not performing up to that level. They said, I think it was on Sunday, that Pittsburgh, I think, was leading the Eastern Conference in points, but if they were in the West, they would be like 6th or 6th or 7th or something. So, yeah, it's I think because the bottom half of the East is so weak, the Lightning have got a shot. I wouldn't say they're a lock, but I think they'll at least be in the race. They won't fall out of it completely. because they do have some decent talent outside of Stamkos. San Luis is still playing great at the ripe old age of 112.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Undrafted free agent.
And that guy whose initials are VF, what's his name again?
Vitery Filippulas.
Mm-hmm, yeah. No, plural? There's two of them? Is it like
there?
The Sedin twins?
I don't know. two P's make an S. trust me on that. It's called a diphthong. Trust me. That's a true word.
I don't think it's in the right context, though, is it?
Yeah.
Is that really
that
what it
really
is?
It really is.
Wow. Aren't you just the cunning linguist?
How about that? Did you just say cunilingus?
I said cunning linguist.
Oh.
Ooh.
But anyways, you talked about earlier the Rangers are coming on. I expect the Islanders to come on. So there's two more teams that are in that metrosexual division.
Pittsburgh's up there. Then in the other division, you got Boston, Montreal, Toronto. Ottawa. So, that yeah, I think at best the Lightning are probably going to be in that fight for the 7th and 8th spot. Yeah. I don't expect them to stay near the top, but they could be in the discussion because there's a lot of bad teams over there.
There is, but when you take a guy, I mean, he had 14 goals already. Mm-hmm. Take him out of the lineup.
Yeah. That's tough. Yep. It's tough for them, and it's yeah. Team Canada will be fine. The Bolts, not so much, and it's really unfortunate for Stamkos. When Stamkos went down, he was tied for the NHL goal-scoring lead with 14 goals with not Alex Ovechkin, although he scored his 14th Tuesday night. Not any other number of players you would suspect. The co-leader was Alex Steen.
Former first-round draft pick of your beloved Toronto Maple Leafs.
Indeed. Steen's 14 goals in his first 15 games put him on pace for 77.
I'll take the under.
Yeah, you think? His career high is 24. My question for you, how many goals will Steen finish the season with?
I'm going to say 33.
33?
Yep.
That's probably about right. I was thinking around 30, maybe a little over. So, yeah, I would say 30 to 33 is probably the right ballpark.
And then just
you know
back
he's
going to
slow down. But.
Yeah, you just go back to the whole Nail Yakupov thing. Alex Steen was a first-round draft pick. He played well for us. But he never became what we expected a first-round draft pick to become, and we traded him away for – I don't even want to talk about it. But who was that guy? He played one season for – oh, Lee Stepniak.
Stepniak.
Yeah.
Dutchie. He was called Dutchie by Blues fans. I don't know why.
But and here you just see a guy that even when he wasn't scoring 20 goals, he wrote his career high as 24, but he was always up there for defensive forward of the year and everything else, and he's a great piece to build a team around, and now he's put it all together. And I just don't get panicking on your first-round draft picks.
Yeah.
Trading them away.
They were first-round draft picks generally for a reason.
Yes, exactly.
So that is the end of our loose pucks discussion. I believe we've gotten everything else out of the way in overtime. First off, no stunningly shockly this week?
Nope, no stunningly shockly.
Darn.
I honestly didn't even think about it.
So that leaves us with your rants. You had three rants planned. One, you were going to rant about the asylum meltdown. Two, you were going to talk about Pyle's plan.
Well, I already did the lunatic of the week.
Right, but you were going to. I thought you were going to something else about that?
Well, just a couple of stories. A fan got a hold of Coach as the bus was leaving for South Carolina, complaining about the loss to Cincinnati.
We'd won two games since then, but they were still complaining
yes.
about that.
What did you say to those guys, and you got to kick them in the butt and blah, blah, blah? And Coach said, no, I don't think so.
Wow. That's kind of abusing the privilege. You know, we've talked a lot about Pyle being welcome. You know, you can go up and talk to him about anything, but yeah, don't abuse the privilege. Don't tell him how to do his job.
And I said it on the radio. I hadn't even heard this story yet. That coach had more teaching moments out of the 6-3 victory over Fort Wayne than he did in the 7-0 loss. The 7-0 loss, seriously, they went out to practice on Saturday at the Ford Center or at Swander after that loss, and he got all the guys together and said, "That loss means nothing. We lost. All that matters now is what we do the rest of the season, what we do tomorrow against Toledo." He said, it's, and I mean, there's a lot of F-bombs in there that I've edited out, but it means nothing. Just move on. Who
it's
cares?
Done
it's
and over
history.
It. Yeah.
And but then we have a 6-3 victory, a great come-from-behind victory on a Wednesday, and he's tearing guys a little bit. So just you're a fan because you're a fan, and you're a coach because you know when the right coaching moments are.
And he's got this roster of new guys and young kids that he's got that's 6-1-1, and they're that way
and
for a reason.
And they beat themselves up over that Cincinnati win.
Yeah.
Soupy was in Coach's Corner afterwards, and the guys wouldn't even talk on the microphone. They were lit. They were bent.
That's the thing. You know, these guys, say what you want about them, and you can make stupid assumptions about guys not wanting to be here or whatever. These guys are professionals, and the reason why they play hockey, it's not just a job. They love it.
Yep.
And it sucks losing. You hate losing. Nothing feels worse than losing. And within the realm of losing, there are a few things that feel worse than getting your doors blown off 7-0 in your own barn. So, yeah, there's – I think it would just be piling on if Pyle were to go – hey, piling on.
Ah,
it would be piling on if Pyle went into the locker room and lit him a new one, because they already feel like absolute garbage. So, yeah, you got to know when to fight your battles and when to just let the guys work through it on their own. And, with a game like that, there's just – what are you going to go in there and say that they don't already know?
Yep. And one of the things I really liked, and I'm not going to mention any names, but this was the comment out of the clubhouse, was it's after games like that that you know who our real fans are. And we've talked about this on this program before, that these guys, they don't usually follow Facebook and stuff, but their wives and girlfriends are, and their fiancés, and their families, and everything else. And they know who's saying what.
Right.
And they know who these people are when they come up asking for autographs and stuff later on.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And they're going to be pros. But don't think that you're hiding behind a computer.
Yeah. Especially with something like Facebook, where your actual name is tied to your comments. It's not like in years past where you could be on a message board under a username.
But I just couldn't believe some of the texts I was getting and everything else after Friday night. And, you know, this is disappointing and this can't happen and blah, blah, blah. And I said, there's a bunch of circumstances here that they weren't prepared for. It's all it is a 7-0 loss. You had a bunch of guys amped up to win this game. They put too much pressure on themselves. You know, maybe we did a bad job of, I'm thinking myself and Ian Frazier, of pumping the unbeaten versus the unbeaten that early in the season. Because you could tell they were gripping their sticks so tight out there. And then one thing that Coach did say was, the one thing I learned about that loss, you never play a goalie who just got called up.
Yeah. Call it a learning experience. Yep. That was a learning experience for that game.
He said, I will never do that again. That was the only learning experience that came out of that. But other than that, everyone just moved on from that.
And
they rattled off 7 points and 3 straight wins after that.
Well, and you know, the thing that went through my head, too, about York is you wonder, the people that are questioning his mindset and not wanting to be here and stuff. It has, like you said, it has nothing to do with that. But just think, put yourself in those shoes in your own realm. Say you're at your job, and you are told, first thing in the morning, you got a promotion. And it's a completely different type of job. It's not doing what you're doing right now. How focused are you going to be on your current job the rest of that day? Yep. Not very.
Not to mention, add into it that you've worked 22 days straight. And the one day that you were planning to have an off day, you are now working.
Yeah.
In a different state.
You're traveling 1,000 miles. Yeah. Yeah, it's you know, I think people, I don't know why, but I think people a lot of times do this. People think pro athletes, oh, they make so much money, not at this level, but in general, just pro athletes, they make so much money and they're so, it's like they're distant, and you watch them on TV, it's like you think they're robots.
Yeah.
You forget, these guys are human beings. And while they, even if they don't have a wife and kids, they're still human beings, and there are things that go into just living your life. It's not like hockey is the only thing on their plate. They also have, you know, a place to live, and they have travel arrangements and friends and family and things, and just uprooting yourself and moving is a little bit of a distraction. It's just, that's just how it is, whether people want to come to grips with that or not. But
now, I didn't have a problem with people texting me even during the game saying, why is Pyle not pulling this goaltender? And I couldn't say anything. I knew why he wasn't pulling them.
Right.
But I didn't know if all the paperwork was official and everything else, so I'm not getting us fined, so I'm not saying anything.
Right.
So that part I do understand, because, yeah, he should have been pulled.
Yeah.
In a normal game, he's
in a normal
pulled.
Situation, I thought he would have probably been pulled after the third goal I mean, three goals on five shots. I think that's probably when you yank him. If not, then I think you definitely pull him at the start of the second period. But when I think when we came out for the start of the second period and York was still the goalie, and I didn't know that he had gotten called up either. When the second period starts and he's still in the net, you knew then he was in for the rest of the game. There's, if he hadn't pulled him yet, he wasn't going to pull him. So then when they scored the fifth goal in the third, late in the second period, I think it was, and people were, get York out of there. No, it's not going to happen.
Yep.
Just understand the situation. If he was going to be out of there, he would have been out of there. But, you know, that game in general, like you said, is, it's just one of those games where it just falls apart and it's not your night. And, yeah, you just try to move on. And it happens to every team. I mean, look in the NFL this past weekend. The Colts got their doors blown off at home to the Rams by 30.
Yep.
And who would have thought that going into that
game? Not
me. Yeah.
And I'm a Ram fan.
So, yeah, going into that game, you know, and the Colts were favored and lost by that bad. At least with the Icemen, you look at it and go, well, the Cyclones came in at least on equal ground, if not a little better, with the records coming in. So it can happen to anybody, but especially when you're playing a team that's that good. But it happens to anybody, really. Even the saying in football, any given Sunday, it happens all through sports. You can have a bad night, and sometimes it happens to even the best teams.
I think part of it, too, is I've been around this team all through training camp. I've heard coach. I know his philosophy, and I've really bought in. And so much of the fan base is still just so injured with the playoff collapse of 2 years ago, that whole team just falling apart, and then last year, that it's just real easy slash hits a nerve when the team struggles.
Yeah. Well, I think
and everyone's not really believing the 6-1-1 start.
And yeah. I think it's smoke and mirrors.
Real. No, yeah. It's the real deal. They're that good.
Yeah.
They really are.
I think the season we had 2 years ago, when we won 40 games and then got swept in the first round, I think that it kind of changed this fan base forever. Because the first three seasons, you know, the two aha years, we had the championship year, but, I mean, we were a losing team in the regular season. The two aha years and the first CHL year, it was kind of like we were in the Mighty Ducks movie. It was like, you know, once you lose enough, you kind of get used to it. And losing didn't have that much of a sting to it. It was just kind of our thing. It was what we did. We lost. So, again, what else is new? And then we had that one good season, and it's like that totally changed the expectations for everyone. And now every loss is treated like the end of the world. And if you lose two or three in a row, oh, really?
Which we're going to do this year.
Yeah, it will happen, and people will lose their minds again. But, you know, it's like the old saying is, it's not how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you get back up. And that ultimately will be the test of this team, is you're going to lose games. It's going to happen. The question is, do you only lose one or two here and there, or do you go in one of those downward spirals where you end up losing 5, 6, 7 in a row? And hopefully not, but you never know, especially with a team that's got a lot of young guys on it. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but yeah, you're going to get knocked down. You're going to lose games. You just got to try to bounce back and prevent it from becoming the kind of thing that ruins your season, which is what happened in that first season at the Ford Center when we were rolling along, and then that leap day meltdown happened, and it was never the same the rest of that season. Hopefully we don't have that kind of meltdown this year.
We won't, because that meltdown happened in the clubhouse. That was a player issue. There's no doubt about it now.
Ironically, though, that was kind of the same situation that Peltier was the goalie in net that day, and everybody was berating Crom for not pulling him.
Yeah, but it went deeper than that.
Oh, yeah. There were a lot of other issues with that team. Is that all you had on that?
No, one last thing. If you've listened this long, 53 minutes into overtime, a lot longer than the Nathan Moon 32 seconds into overtime, that's what we should have done. All these points in 32 seconds.
Nathan
Moon. But Coach said big changes coming up this weekend.
Oh?
Didn't elaborate.
Is this the Piles plan you were talking about?
Or maybe. That was a long time ago. That was like yesterday.
You forgot what you were mentioning, huh?
But no, he said there's big lineup changes. I don't know if that means he's going to just playing time. I don't know if that means we got a couple more people coming down. I don't know what it means because he didn't elaborate. But he said he was going to really shake things up starting this weekend.
Hmm.
So
interesting. Yeah, we'll see It's always interesting when you make changes like that to a team that's winning games.
Yeah, I think he's just got to that point now where he's eight games in, and he's seen everyone play.
He's starting to know what he's got.
Yeah, and I think you might start seeing, before you get into changes roster-wise, you could see a dominant first line that's going to play 22 minutes mm-hmm. and a second line that's going to play 20 minutes or maybe even a little bit more. And then that third line, and that is right now we've been rotating that 10th forward through all three lines.
Yeah, a lot.
But now you might just see those four guys split about 11 minutes.
Hmm.
So that's my guess.
Interesting. So you don't know what you were going to say as far as Pyle's plan was concerned.
What was the context?
We were talking about the 10th forward and whether or not Jason Dale would get back in the lineup.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that's what it was all about, is that there's something big going to happen, start to happen this weekend.
Interesting. So the other thing that we were going to mention in overtime was your ignorance of the Education Day in Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got interviewed way back in May, first part of May. And knowing the Iceman like I do, I was pretty sure I had the job already.
Well, la-dee-da.
It was all just a matter of whether they really wanted to pay me or not. And that wasn't decided until August 28th they decided they were going to pay me. So I had already gotten a copy of the travel plans for the year.
Just to start marking your calendar.
Yes, which we... with the crazy household that I have, with all the stuff that we have going on, we do use a online computer calendar.
Mm-hmm.
So it all got data entered into the computer calendar. So all I saw was day trip to Cincinnati until I had heard a couple of rumors, and then you had said something about the day game, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? And so I'm checking the... unfortunately, my wife did a great job of data entering everything, but never even thought, oh, we should probably double check
make
this
sure stuff
to the
hasn't
official
changed.
Calendar yeah. once it was released. And so, yeah, that I wasn't panicked about it because I figured you were right. So like you told me about that Monday, and I didn't even worry about it till Tuesday. And I just went up to Pataf and I said, what time are we leaving for Cincy? He's like, oh, 1 o'clock. And I said, and I was trying to play it cool. I'm like, 1 o'clock Monday, because Monday is a fun day, right? And he's like, what, just looking at me like I'm weird, and I'm like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, we're leaving at Tuesday at 1 for a game that started 3 hours
and then
before
I
that.
Pulled out my phone and emailed Rebecca and be like, hey, we got a change of plans. I'm leaving Monday.
So, yeah, that's why there's no Iceman Live next week.
Yes.
Because you'll already be in Cincinnati.
Yes.
So,
and they're all teasing me. They're like, you can stay behind and drive after. I'm like, nah, I'm going
on
the bus.
Yeah, that would be a long night.
Yes.
Who would you have on anyway?
Exactly.
All the players will
yeah.
be over there.
I'm going to stay back.
It'd
in
be a
town.
Brian Vall show again.
Yeah, we've done that once.
Once is enough.
Yeah, once is more than enough.
Yeah, I agree.
So, are we done?
I think
Can
so.
Can I go home?
I think so. I think we're done. Whew. That's it.
You've been listening to Overtime because you are sick in the head and you just have no life and you have nothing better to do. Then listen to Iceman Yappers.
Do you want
to
sing a little more?
For 2+ hours. No. Can you hear my throat? This is the way my throat sounded on Sunday after calling all those goals. He is Michael Shockley. I am Derek Benigni. This is Iceman Insights Overtime.
First Circus.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.